Tonight's shir is sponsored by Avram Tello Lezecha Nishmas, his grandparents, Avram Leib Ben Chaim and Chana Fega Bas Ben Yamin. Tzidkul mitzvahs.
Agutavach, everybody. Shoyal and Vidorshim Behilchas HaPesach, Shloishim Yayim Kaidim Achag. 30 days before Yom Tov, we already start darshaning about the inyanim of Pesach. And it's not negeya only to the halachis, the halacha l'maisa, but it's also negeya to the halichais, the limudim that we could learn for life from the inyanim of Pesach. I'd like to begin by a mayor de kivort that I saw. It says in the pasuk in Parashas Boy, Ulaman tisaper ba'ozne bincha uben bincha eis asher hisalalti b'mitzrayim. In order that you should say over into the ears of your son and your grandson that which I played with Mitzrayim. Ve'asoyis ha'isasher samtivom, and the signs that I placed within them. V'yedatem ki ani Hashem, and you will know that I am Hashem. So the Pandav Yisrael asked the question, why does it say, Laman tisaper ba'ozne bincha? You should tell it into the ears of your son. It could have just said, Laman tisaper lebincha. You should tell it to your son. What is the pshat ba'ozne bincha? So the Rav says, a mayudik pshat. He says, when you're sitting in a room together with your son and there's nobody else there, there's no other noises going on there, you could even sit across the room, you're on one couch and he's on the other opposite you, and you could talk peacefully, and then you don't have to speak into his ear. But if, let's say, there are other sounds in the room, there are little kids that are making noise, and there's other noises going on in the room, then it's not going to help talking from across the room. Then you have to move up closely, and you have to speak into his ear. And if you don't speak directly into his ear, he's not going to be able to hear you, and he's not going to be able to get the message. Dr. Rav, that in Mitzrayim, there were many foreign voices that were in the air. There were voices of Kfira in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There were voices of Avodah Zarah. There were voices of Kishuv. There were voices of Taiva. There were all sorts of foreign voices. For that, the Torah tells us, Oman Tesaper Ba'ozne Bincha. You have to worry about those foreign voices. They might distort the message that you want to give over to your son. And Mimele, you have to speak Ba'ozne Bincha. You have to speak it so that it enters into his ear and you're not distracted by the other foreign voices. And what that really means is, it doesn't only mean physically to speak into his ear. It means you have to speak in a way that it matters. You have to speak with the chiyus, you have to speak with the geshmak, you have to speak in a way that your son sees that this is really the essence of life. Hagoyin HaTzadik Rishimshin Pinkus said over a Mayudik Emaisa. There was a young couple living in Yerushalayim or HaKodesh. They had a young son, and when he reached the age when he was starting to talk, they wanted to be Mekayim, what Chazal say, that when the kid reaches the time to talk, you should teach him the word Torah Tiva Lonu Moshe, Meirosha Kehilos Yaakov. Moshe Rabbeinu, he taught us Torah, it's an heirloom given over to the gathering of Yaakov. And sure enough, they started with their kid, they were all happy. So I asked Chola, say Torah, Tiva, Tiva, Lonu. But when it came to saying it over, the kid just wasn't copping. They tried again and again, but it wasn't going. Okay. One day the mother is walking with the child out in the marketplace, and there's a fellow selling watermelons. And he says, Avatichim Triyim Edomim, and he's screaming out for all he's worth. Avatichim Edomim Triyim Avatichim Edomim. And as they pass by, the kids start saying it over. Avatichim, Edomim, Tariyim, Avatichim. The mother was shocked. Here they're trying to teach him Torah Tiva Lanu Moshe, and the kid's not catching up. And they pass by this watermelon salesman, and he hears it for 2 seconds, and he's able to repeat it. They came home, and she tells it over to her husband. She's mamish in tears, and the husband's also brach, and you know, he thought maybe there's something wrong with the kid's neshama. There's a pagamin in the neshama that the Direi Kedusha he's not able to pick up, and the inyanim of chayil he picks up in a second. So he went to an Adam Gadol. He told the Adam Gadol, he pours out his heart, We're trying to inculcate in our son Tayyotzivalanamosha, if it's not working. And here he hears a watermelon guy, and in 2 seconds he's able to repeat it. Maybe there's a begamin in the Shamu, we need some sort of tikkunim, alpi kabbalah, it's a special tefillah, a special bracha. So Adam Gottel listens, you know. He says, Chas v'shalom, he says, there's nothing wrong with your child. Your child has a helig yiddish in a shama, nervous. This fellow that's selling watermelon, he's got to put food on the table. So he's got to scream this for all he's worth, and he screams it, mamish blasting away, abatichim, tarayim, edomiyim, and over again, because he knows his life depends on it, and the life of his family depends on it. If you're going to do that with that same gishmak, you're going to do that with that same hislahavus, you'll be able to get the Tayyotiv Lonamosha to him as well. And that's the shot over here. Lamanta Saper Ba'ozme Bincha. You have to say it in a way that your life depends on it. It's not Stam story that we're telling over. It's not Stam stories of the past. This is our life. This is what Knesset Yisrael is built on. That we became the Golem Ladar Dairis. This is something that we have to realize is our life, and that's the way that you have to say the Haggad. And this is especially true in our times today. Because the same way in Mitzrayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Ki meitzeischa meyeres Mitzrayim, arenu neflois. We're going to need neflois like when you went out of Mitzrayim. And the same way in Mitzrayim, there were foreign voices that were spread throughout the land, and you needed that laman to saper bosnei bincha. We have that same tzara today. All kinds of yetzaharas, all kinds of tumah that are in the air. And even we that are living here, Baruch Hashem, in a beautiful Muncie, wonderful, wonderful year. I tell you, a year HaChasidus, Mamish, it's a pleasure to live amongst Yidden. But there is Tumah in the air. There's no question about it. Meir Shapiro said that he was once speaking to the Heilig of Chofetz Chaim. Chofetz Chaim was already well, well up there in years. Chofetz Chaim was complaining, I, the preachers, it's terrible, the preachers is Mamish, it's overstepped all bounds. So Meir Shapiro asked him, the Rebbe tell me, how does he know about the preachers? He says, the Rebbe is in his house. He's in the base medrash. He's in this little derfala called Raden. There's no preachers anywhere in sight. How does the Rebbe know that there's preachers? He says, ach, he says, you could feel it in the air. How can you not feel it in the air? It's obviously there. We're not the Chofetz Chaim, but even if we're not able to feel it, but it is there. And it definitely stares. There's no question about it that there's a Mayyidik Ruach HaTumah. With the growth of Torah and with the growth of Kedusha, which is Lamailam and Ateva, Zelu Umazed is a terrible, terrible growth of Tumah. And in order to be able to overcome that, it has to be Laman Tesaper Ba'ozne Bincha. You have to do it. It should enter the ears of your son. You have to do it as if your life depends on it. Chassam Sofer, Heilig Chassam Sofer asks a question. Why are we celebrating Pesach? Mamish, it's man chay rishenu, it's man a time of freedom. We're living in a golos today, like any other golos. There's tzaris in the world, there's klalis, the ketzaris for klal Yisrael. Everybody has their own personal worries that they have. We're still in golos, and there's still a lot of problems. So why are we celebrating today? Zoktach sam soifah that there's a major difference between the golos that we're in and golos Mitzrayim. In Golos Mitzrayim, we were avodim, be'etzem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought us down there, and we were under Paray, and there was no way in the world that it was in our control to get out of there. An eved ain't chover shmata ratzmi b'beisha asurim. Someone that's an eved and someone that's imprisoned cannot take himself out of the beisha asurim. He says, but once we were taken out of Mitzrayim, we got the name Geulim. Shira chadosha shivachu Geulim. We had a shame of Geula, Geulim on ourselves. And once we were given the Torah, Hagam we were in Golus, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu placed it in our hands that we were able to get ourselves out of the Golus. There's a famous Gemara that says, Yeshua ben Levi once met Eliyahu Hanavi. And he says, when's Mashiach coming? So he says, why don't you go ask Mashiach himself? So come on, Masechta Sanhedrin, go ask him himself. He says, where can I find him? He says, he's by the gates of Rome. So he goes to the gates of Rome, and there he sees him. He's a poor-looking person. He has bandages all over him. He's being soivel, the Averis of Klal Yisrael, and he's amongst the Aniyim over there. And he goes over to him, and he says, Amos HaKa'osimah, when are you coming? So he says, Hayom, I'm coming today. Ooh, he's coming today. Amrish, he was so happy and he left. Only problem was that the day passed and another day passed. Mashiach had not come. So he met Eliyahu HaNavi the next time. He says, you know, you steered me wrong. I came to Mashiach and I asked him when he's coming. And he said today, and he never came. So he says, Hayoim, but there's a second part of the pasuk. Im tishmu ubekoil. Hayoim, but b'tnai, the Klal Yisrael listens in a way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu expects. They reach a certain madrega. But the emes is that after the Torah was given, and we became b'nei chayrin, it is b'yicholtenu, it is in our power to bring Mashiach. Zot, the Chassam Sofer, one of the greatest ways of bringing Mashiach is together with tzedakah. The Gemara says, there's many mitzvahs that are makar of the geula, but the one that's most makar of the geula is tzedakah. The Gemara says, in Masechtas Bava Basra, daf Yudam et Aleph, G'dayla tzedakah shemekareves es ha-geula. Tzedakah is great, it's makar of the geula. Shenemar, as it says in the Pasuk, koyamar Hashem, shimru mishpat, watch law, the law and order, v'asu tzedakah. Tzedakah is something that is makar of the geula. So that is of the Chassam Sofer. That's why our simcha in Zman Chayruseinu, this freed us from Mitzrayim. It was the geula. It led to Matan Torah. Matan Torah put the key of the geula in our hand. She says, that's what's nichol. That's why we start the Seder with Holach Ma'anya. She says, Holach Ma'anya. This is the very same bread of affliction that our fathers ate in the land of Mitzrayim. So why are we celebrating? And the answer is, because it's in our hands by inviting the poor, by inviting the needy, by doing tzedakah. That is the chelik of the Torah. Today we're no longer mukhruch the way we were in Mitzrayim. Today we're able to bring the gula on our own. How? And through that, now we're here, but because of the tzedakah, in the coming year, we will be in Eretz Hashem and Eretz Yisrael. This is the way the Chassam Sofer learns why we open up with the Holach Ma'anya. One of the questions that we ask before Kashas, the Manishtana, Shabchol HaLeilos Anu Oichlin Chometu Matzah. Every night we eat chametz and matzah, halayla hazeh kuloi matzah. I saw a beautiful, beautiful machshavah in the Haggadah of Hagoyin HaTzadik of Shimshon Pinkasek HaTzadik Levracha. He says there are three differences between the Isser of chametz and all other Isurei Achila. Mosel Chazir, that's the ultimate person eats Chazir, that's like the uptights of someone that's not from. So, on other achilas isser l'mashal chazer, there's no isser of bal yiroa, bal yimotze. A person has chazer in his house. If he doesn't eat it, he's not over on any specific isser. Of course, a person shouldn't keep it around in his house. But there is no isser bal yiroa, bal yimotze. Hashem came by chometz, there's an isser bal yiroa, bal yimotze. By other isser achila, there is no mitzvah of sreifa. There's no mitzvah to burn it. By chometz, not only do we burn it, but we're biting the house beforehand to check it out, and then finally we burn it. That's only by chometz. You don't find it by other isurei achila. Number three, chometz carries with it a chiyuv of karis. From the most chumadiki isurim, because there's no isur karis, to lav of malchus, there's no isur of karis. Why is it that chometz is so chumadik, more so than the isur of chazer, or all other isurei achila? So he says, Amari the Kibshat. Chometz is regular bread. A person might think to himself, well, if I eat chazer, so the chazer becomes a chelik of me, I become a shtik chazer. Okay, that not. But bread? Bread is the essence of life. What's wrong with bread? Everybody eats bread, and bread is mamash, the basic, basic essence of life. The Torah speaks about lechem. It says, Bezeyas apecho toichal lechem. It's the first meichel you see besides the fruits of the Eitz Hadas. The basic essence of life is lechem. So Hashem, if he's a person, can think to himself, so what's so terrible if I eat chametz on Pesach? I'm eating what everybody else eats. The Torah tells us, you are not everybody else. You are different than everybody else. There's a merchag between you and the rest of the world. What's the essence of life for everybody else? You in your massive of freedom have to be makir that you live on something else completely. And Hagam, the rest of the year, we talk it, do eat bread. Oh, but this night of Pesach, when we were in the Golan, when we became everybody different than everybody else, that's when the Atobah Chartonim Yikola Anim started. You're a totally different Matthias. We've mentioned past Shiurim, Tzedavah Yodua, what the Sfarim say, that there are four basic Yesodis of the Bria. There is Daimen, there's an inanimate object, stones, sand, there's Tzimeach, there's a plant that grows. There's Balei Chai, those are the animals. And there's Chai, there's Medaber, that's a regular Adam. The Sefer HaKuzri says, but there's one unit on top of that also, and that's a Ben Yisrael. And the same way everybody understands that a Tzimeach is not a Daimen, and a Balei Chai is not a Tzimeach, and an Adam, a regular Medaber, is not a Balei Chai, that same way it's the repulsion that Yisroel is the Briah B'fnei Atzmai. And what everybody else does and what everybody else lives on, we don't live on that. So Hagam, throughout the rest of the year, we live on bread. That is the basic essence of life. And that's what sustains us. But when it comes to Pesach by night, we're different than everybody else. And since we're different than everybody else, we have to show that even in the basic achila, we don't eat the regular lechem. We eat a totally different lechem. That's what we learn from this inyan. Shakol ha'layla sonu oich mechamet zu matzah, ha'layla kuloi matzah. It's a davar yodua that the Vilna Gaon says, that the Korban Pesach, says the Korban Pesach was eaten roishoy al kro'ov v'al kirboi. It had to be roasted, the head with the legs together with the body. Why was that, Zav the Vilna Gaon? Because that is the fetal position of a child in its mother's womb. And that comes to show us that Pesach by night, when we went out, it was like taking the child out of the mother's womb. Ve'ekach estem goy mikerev goy. I removed you one nation from within another. It's like a child, Chazal say, like a child taken out of the mother's womb. When the child is in the mother's womb, whatever the mother eats goes into the child. Once we're taken out, the child eats independently of the mother. And that's what's shown with this Indian over here. We were taken out of Mitzrayim, we were taken out of that womb. Now that we were taken out of that womb, we're a totally different Bria, we are a totally different Matzias. And that's why over here, that is why we eat the Dafke Matzah. There's a famous Gemara in Masechtas Ksuvos that speaks about this difference of Matzias between Klal Yisrael and the rest of the world. The Gemara in Masechtas Ksuvos, Daf Samach Vav Amid Beis says, Maisa of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, a very, very sad story. There was a Maisa with Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, Shohaya Roichev al Achamor. He was riding on a Chamor, Bahaya Yoitzim Yerushalayim. And he left Yerushalayim, followed by his Talmidim. So he saw this young woman that was bent over, and she was picking out barley from amidst the manure of the animals, of the donkeys that belonged to the Arabs. She was so desperate for food that which the excrement of the animals of the Arabs, she was picking out the barley that was undigested. She should be able to clean it and then serve it to her family. Pachat chodim, the desperation for food at that time. So the minute she saw Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai coming, right away she got up, she made herself tzniyazdik, and she said, Rebbe, parnaseini, please be mefarnas me. I'm desperate for food. My family is desperate for food. Omar lo, biti miat, who are you? Which family do you come from? Omar le bas Nagdiman ben Gurion ani. I am the daughter of Nagdiman ben Gurion. He was one of the three wealthiest men in Yerushalayim. And she is the daughter of Nagdiman ben Gurion. Omar le biti, my daughter. Momen shall be savit heichen holach. Where did all of the wealth of your father's house go? Amarle, Revi, loikidein maslin misla b'Yerushalayim. There's a saying in Yerushalayim, and it's not said for no reason. There's a lot of truth to the saying of you that they say in Yerushalayim, melach momen choser. The preservative of money is to lose money, to give up money to tzedakah. That's the preservative of money. The Gemara asks a question, what? Like even Ben-Gurion didn't give tzedakah. Tzedakah Yaduah Chazal say, when he used to walk in the street, they used to roll out carpet for him to walk on, and afterwards it was folded up and it was given to Aniyah. He didn't give tzedakah. He gave more than the amount of tzedakah. The Gemara says he gave a lot of tzedakah, but he didn't give what he could have given. He could have given more, and therefore it did not stand up for him. So Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai says, what about your father-in-law? He was also very wealthy. So she said, my father-in-law, he vouched for my father, and he got involved in his business dealings, and he lost all of his money as well. So Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai said, I remember signing on her ksuba, and her father alone gave her Elef Alfei Dinrei Zohav that were signed in the Ksuba, a massive amount of wealth besides what her father-in-law gave her. And this mamish all fell by the wayside. She was now left destitute. She had to pick out the barley from this excrement of the animals. So Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai started crying. And he said, Ashreichem Yisrael, fortunate are you, Klal Yisrael. Bizman shatam oisin ritzayne shal mokayim, when you do the rotzen of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, en kol umu v'umi yachayla lishloit aleichem. There's not a nation in the world that can have shlita on you. However, bizman shatam oisin ritzayne shal mokayim, when you don't do the rotzen of Hashem, not only do you fall beneath the feet of the lowest nation, but you're below the animals. You're stuck now to pick out from the excrement of the animals. That's how low you fall. So the Maralmi Prague and other Mepharshim asked the question. I could understand Ashreichem Yisrael b'zman shatam oisin ritzayne shal mokayim. Then Ashreichem Yisrael, then you are fortunate. But b'zman shatam oisin ritzayne shal mokayim, why is there an Ashreichem Yisrael over there? Why is that fortunate? If we sink to such a low, even beneath the animals of the Arabs, that's how low we sink? And for that he says Ashreichem Yisrael. How could he say that? Zog in the Mepharshim, the Maral says it in one nusach, and others say it in a different nusach. The fact that we see that Klal Yisrael sinks to such a low, there is not a nation in the world throughout the history of the world that has suffered the degradation, the pogroms, the torture, starting from Mitzrayim, not a nation in the world has suffered that which Klal Yisrael has suffered. And that is the biggest raya, how great we are. The regular nations of the world, they're totally in their mazalis. Their mazel doesn't change much. A little bit here, a little bit there. Sometimes they're more powerful, sometimes they're less powerful. Sometimes they're wealthier, sometimes they're poorer. But basically, they're dependent on their mazalis. The fact that you see that our fortune changes from the highest of the high to the lowest of the low, that shows you that we are not dependent on the mazalis. We are a bria b'fnei atzmenu. We hold on to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When you hold on to Hashem, you are fully alive. The minute we let go, we fall all the way down to the lowest of the low. We don't have the mazolos to hold on to. And that shows that we are l'mailim in ateva. That gufer shows the greatness of Klal Yisrael. The fact that we sink to such a low, when we sink, that shows that we're in a totally different stratosphere than the rest of the world. And that's the yisoid of eating matzah. We are not what everybody else does. We are not what everybody else eats. We are a mitzias b'fnei atzmenu. And if during the rest of the year we do eat bread, because that is the basic essence of a lamaisa on this night of yitzias Mitzrayim, ve'ekach eskem goy mikerev goy, when you're taken out of the womb and you became a bria chadasha, on that night we eat matzah to show we are a bria b'fnei atzmenu. I'd like to say just a couple of short machshavas on the Haggadah. Chochem mahu oimer. What does the Chochem say? Moha'edus v'achukim v'hamishpatim hashesiv Hashem alekeinu eschem. What are the testimonies, the mitzvahs of testimony that testify that there's a Borei Olam, and the chukim, the laws which we don't understand, v'hamishpatim, the laws that we do understand. From the way he phrases his question, you can tell that he's a chacham, he's an intellectual. You should also tell him the halachas of Pesach, ein maftirin acharat Pesach afikayim. You should tell him the halacha, that after you eat the carbon Pesach, you're not allowed to have any other desserts, you're not allowed to eat anything after the carbon Pesach. So the Mepharshim ask a question, why is this the halacha? We tell him dafka more than any other halacha. There's who knows how many halachas of Karban Pesach. Why do we have to tell him the halacha of ein maftirin acharat Pesach apikayim? So the emphasis is that the Malbim learns that this doesn't mean to exclude all the other halachas. It says a chacham, you have to tell him everything. You have to tell him all the way until the end, until the last halacha of ein maftirin acharat Pesach apikayim. It doesn't mean to say that this is the only halacha. Tell him from the beginning all the way till the end, which is ein maftirin acharat Pesach apikayim. But I saw my Rosh Yeshiva, Rav Gifter, Zeichet Tzadik Levracha, said a different pshat over here. He says that in order for a person to be able to imbibe and to internalize the true taste of the mitzvah, it's not good enough to be makayim the mitzvah. You have to live with the mitzvah. In other words, you do the mitzvah, but then you have to continue living what that mitzvah represents. Your life has to be a life of Torah. Your life has to be a life of Yerushalayim. So then not only will the mitzvah be a maitzah mitzvah, but the mitzvah will be living within you. Pesach by night, the mitzvahs of Korban Pesach, and the mitzvahs of matzah represent chayrus. They represent freedom. In order to be able to experience that freedom, it's not good enough to just be makayim the mitzvah. You have to live the mitzvah afterwards. You have to be Isaac and Torah. Ein ben chayrin elam isha Isaac ba Torah. And who's a ben chayrin? Someone that's attached to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That is really the true ben chayrin. So we tell the chacham that don't just settle for what you do tonight. You have to live this in order to be able to keep the time of the mitzvah, the taste of the mitzvah, the life, the iris, the kiddush of the mitzvah. You have to continue living the mitzvah. And that's embodied in this statement, ein maftir an acharat Pesach afikayim. One of the pleasures of a food, when you eat a geshmak, a steak, you don't just finish the steak and right away drink down mouthwash to get rid of the taste. A person doesn't do that, right? After he enjoys the juicy steak, he lets the taste simmer in his mouth, and he has the geschmack of the steak afterwards. You don't just wash it out. And that's what we say over here. A maftirin acharat Pesach afikayman. After the Korban Pesach, you don't just wash out the taste with something else. You have to keep that taste in your mouth. And that we told the chacham. And we would have to tell it to a chacham, because someone that's a chacham, he wants to see beneath the surface. He wants to understand more reasoning. He wants to get more of an appreciation of the mitzvah. So we tell him, if you want to really get the appreciation of the mitzvah, you have to take the lesson of Ein Maftir an Acharat Pesach Afikayman. Why don't we eat anything after the Korban Pesach? That's supposed to be the last taste of the evening in your mouth. You want the taste to remain for a while afterwards. If that's the case, if you want the taste of the mitzvah to remain afterwards, you have to continue living the mitzvah. And we also tell him that tonight is just the beginning. Tomorrow we start with the days of Sfiras HaOmer. And with the days of Sfiras HaOmer, we have a count upwards towards Matan Torah. Tonight was just the beginning. It was a Maisa HaMitzvah, and it touched upon Chayrus. But Chayrus has to build up more and more and more and more as you get closer to Matan Torah. And then Kabbalah HaTorah, that is the final stage of Geula. But Ein Maftir an Acharat Pesach Afikayman, live that which you were Mekayim tonight, and let the taste build up weiter and weiter and weiter and weiter. And that way you'll talk and be able to internalize the mitzvah. That's Machshava number one. Machshava number two, so Amayri the Kipshat, it says, V'hi kesi kol b'chor b'eres Mitzrayim ani Hashem. I will smite every b'chor in the land of Mitzrayim, I am Hashem. So you do it what the Baal Haggadah says, ani Hashem, ani v'loi malach, I am not a malach, ani v'loi sorav, I am not a fiery angel, ani v'loi hashaliach. I'm not sending any shluchim. I am doing makas b'chayris all by myself. So the Belti has Sakasha, but the Pasuk says B'Tayrish not like that. If you look at the Pasuk, it says, V'lo yitain ha-mashtis lovei el v'teichem lindayv. I'm not going to allow the Malach HaMavis to come to your houses to play. It's mashma that all the other houses of the Mitzriim, it wasn't HaKadosh Baruch Hu that was doing it, it was the Malach HaMavis that was doing it. So what's the shot? Here it says, Ani v'loi Malach, Ani v'loi Sarah, and there it says, V'lo yitain ha-mashtis lovei el v'teichem. What's the shot? Since Yadua, I've said this in the past, the Vilna Goyen says, and for this pshat, by the way, he was given greetings min HaShemayim. They gave him a special Yashakayach min HaShemayim for this pshat. What was the pshat that he said? Of course, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was the one that did Makas B'chayris. But there were supposed to be people that were supposed to die regular deaths that night. Every night, there's people, they die of old age, they die of sickness. So those people amongst the Yidden should have died regular deaths. What did HaKadosh Baruch Hu do? Even the people that were supposed to die regular deaths that night, that the Malach HaMavis was supposed to take away, Hashem did not allow the Malach HaMavis to take them away on that night, so that the Mitzrayim should not say, oh, there were Jews that died as well. So Makkos B'Chayiris was taken done by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu skipped over the houses of the Bnei Yisrael. He did not take any B'Chayiris. But what about regular people that were supposed to die that night? They weren't nifter either. Hashem did not allow the Malach HaMavis to take those regular people away so that the Mitzrayim should not say Jews died as well. So both things are evident. Hashem did Makkos B'Chayiris, and he didn't allow the Malach HaMavis to take away the lives of those regular people. There was a Yid that lived in Litta, and his father came to him in a dream once, and he asked his father, where are you going? He said, I'm on my way to the Vilna Gaon's house. He said, what's that? So he says, they sent me min HaShemayim to give him a Yashikoyach for this pshat that he said. So he said, Vosebis, they sent you to Atelites. He says, because I was mechavim to a similar pshat someplace else, so they allowed me to come to give him a Yashikoyach. For this pshat, he was given a Yashikoyach. But I wanted Beaker to say a pshat from Hagoyin Rav Aaron Kotel, Zechitzad of the Kodesh Lebracha. He said a different pshat. He says, we know that there are 50 Sharei Bina. There's 50 Shari Tuma, and Havdol, of Havdolos, there's 50 Shari Bina. During the 49 days of Svira, we shed one of the gates of Tuma every day, and at that same time we were kinda the Shari Bina, the Shari Kedusha. We were kinda 49 Madregas of Kedusha, then we came to Matan Torah. Shulis is the 50th day, but we can't be masik that 50th. Even Moshe Rabbeinu was not masik the 50th Shari of Kedusha. 49 days, but the 50th is L'mayla Los Lovay, we will talk to be Zaycha to that. It says, Asher Haytzeisi, in the Torah 50 times. So the Vilna Gaon says that each one represents a different level of Tumah that he removed us from, and we acquired a level of Kedusha connected that. And the 50th, Hagam, now we're not masig it, but at least we're being made ready that Los Lovay, we should be masig it. Similarly, there are 50 makis. The Gemara, the Baal HaGadah says that every one of the makis had in it 5 makis. So there were 50 makis. So Zakhtar Baron, it was also for the same reason. It was to inculcate within us the madregas of Kedusha. We shed madregas of Tumah with each makis to a certain degree. It made us ready for those 50 days. And at the same time, it made us ready to be kind of certain madregas of Kedusha. So according to that, there's a Pashto Pshat, he says. Even in Makkos B'Chayiris, there was different nisim that came out of that. So 4 of those chalokim of Makkos B'Chayiris were left up to the Malach HaMavis. The ultimate in Makkos B'Chayiris, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that was the 50th Madregat Kedusha, which is left only to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's something that we can't be masik. So it's not a stira. If every Makkah had 5 different parts to it, so even in Makkos B'Chayiris, there were different parts to it. 4 of those were given over to regular malachim, and those are things that we could be masig in Kedusha. The 50th, that was done by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's l'mayla misichleinu, that's something that we can't be masig, that's dani v'lay malach, ani v'lay sorof, ani v'lay hashliach. I just want to finish off with one more machshava from Hagoyin, Rav Moshe Feinstein, Zecher Tzadik v'Kodesh Livracha. Rav Gamliel says, kol shulayomer shleisha dvarim alalu b'Pesach, Pesach, Matzah, and Marah. And we explain the reasons for everything. Dr. Moshe, a time of a mitzvah is not the real reason of a mitzvah. We can't really understand the depth and the godliness of every mitzvah. For example, we know that the mitzvah of Tefillin, Shatim Oysal Yodka, Keneged Alei, we have to place the parashiyos opposite our heart, to inculcate it in our heart. We have to put it on our head to bring it into our minds. But with, even after that reason, do we understand why the mitzvahs have to, why the tefillin have to be black? Do we understand why it has to be exactly 4 corners exactly? Do we understand the seder of the parashiyos? Even if you understand the reason, it's only a chitzonizdik reason. It's like my Rosh Yeshiva of Gifta used to say, the word tam means taste. It gives you a taste in the mitzvah. But that's about it. The ultimate reasons we're not going to understand until Asid Lovay, when Umola Haaretz Deya, then we'll begin to understand the real reasons. Afa pikein zokher of Moshe, the Baal Haggadah tells us reasons. What are we supposed to take from these reasons? So he says, Pesach, Hashem's gift over us. And Chazal say that even if you had two houses of Yidden and there was a Mitzri in the middle, he skipped over the first Yid, hit the Mitzri, skipped over the second Yid. You were mamish able to see the Hashgoche of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Mashgiach on every single Yiddish house. He says, we have to have that Hakara today. He says, Lamarsha, if a person like Elaine who was in a car accident and he makes it out alive, oy, he's Makir, Baruch Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu saved me. But most of the time we get into our cars every single day and we drive to the Beis Medrash and we drive to work, we drive all over and nothing happens. And we forget, we take it for granted that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is watching over us every second of the day. And there's many tragedies in the world and in reality we're not suffering. Hashem is Peseach on us every single day. That's something that we have to learn from the Ma'is of Pesach. That if you see that you make it through the day safely, Baruch Hashem, you have to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for every single day that we made it through alive. There was one year, I forgot already, it was a Chassidish year, I forgot already, I think he was a Slonim or Chassid. So one day he came to Shul, and he gave a Kiddush. I thought he had yard sight, whatever. Then the next day again, he gives another Kiddush. Aha, yard sight. Then the third day again, three yard sights in a row, something's wrong. So what are you giving Tikkun every single day? So what are you talking about? He says, I made it today over the bridge safely. I have to give Shvach Vaidor to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that I made it over the bridge and nothing happened to me. Every single day, I'll call the Shema v'Neshima. For every breath, you have to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Pesach has to teach us. It has to teach us that every single day that HaKadosh Baruch Hu helps us live through the day, and Chas V'Shalom, nothing happens to us, and we're Baruch Hashem alive and healthy, and we have the basic parnassah, we have to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for that. Matzah. What do we learn from Matzah? HaKadosh Baruch Hu can make a nace happen, Yeshua's Hashem keheref ayin. The Pasuk says, their dough didn't even have a chance to rise, and all of a sudden the Yeshua came. That's a lesson to us. A person should never be miyayish. We're living in this galus already for thousands of years, and we say, oi, what's going to be the end? Is talking going to happen? When's it going to be? When's it going to be? Don't give up. The B'nai Yisrael were talking galus Mitzrayim. It was a very shrekel galus. And they had already given up hope. Moshe Rabbeinu had to pump hope into them. And what happened? Keheref ayin, when the time was ready, well, his speak would take them. In a second, it could happen. And that's a lesson for Klal Yisrael, b'cholos, as a whole. And also it's a lesson for each individual. Everybody else, everybody, every yachid has his trachim, be it parnasa, be it health, be it shidduchim. Byron nefashis rabbis b'chasreinan. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created many nefashis, and every nefesh has its kesorin, what it needs, and has to come on to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Don't give up hope. Yeshua Hashem keheref ayin. That's something that we learn from the matzah. What about Maror? She says, Maror the Kipshat. And I was mamish thinking about this today before I even saw Ramayish's Pshat. He says, Maror, it comes to teach us, never take your situation in Golus for granted. Don't think I'm living amongst people. They're nice. It's a Machosh al Chesed. It's Gevaldig. Oh, we're safe and sound over here. America's a great place. It's a great place. And in the news, Mamish, Bibi Netanyahu is at the top of the world. He's together with Trump, and the Mamish hugging each other, and the Mamish with a chavashav, it's Mayurdi. You have to remember in Mitzrayim, it was like that once upon a time also, when Yosef, when he made his appearance in Mitzrayim, and he became the Avreich, and the Tzofnus Paneach, and all of Mitzrayim was dependent on Yosef. Their whole Parnassah was dependent on Yosef. And the Bnei Yisrael were at the top of the world. All of a sudden, by Yochum El Chodesh Al Mitzrayim Asher Lo Yoda Es Yosef, then everything went downhill. By Yimaru Es Chayehem. That also is something that we have to be dependent on HaKadosh Baruch every second of the day. Never take it easy. Never be dependent on the Goyim Al Tiftechu B'Nedivim. We can only depend on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That is the lesson of Maror. Agutavach. Kaddish.